Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our Christian television network audience around the nation, around the world, and on the Gulf Coast, the warm Gulf Coast. We're so honored to be able to be with you in your living rooms from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And we just consider it an honor. And also our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world in the Middle East. And joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
It's that shirt. It's that shirt.
There it is again. My goodness.
Whoa. And so.
You like it, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you one of these.
It just makes me want to have, you know, a sandwich and chips and a Coke.
I'm going to give you one in every color.
Every color, right? We do need some new tablecloths. No, I'm joking. Man, so many things are happening in the world. We're going to cover, if you missed our earlier program, you got to kind of catch it, some powerful encounters with Francis Chan, with the Jehovah Witness, and how he loved on them and was able to share with them his abiding relationship with God and what happened. Also, this book that's out called Erasing Hell. The author of Crazy Love wrote a book called Erasing Hell. And if you erase your enemies, then you don't have any in your own mind, but you really do. But now the knowledge of your enemies to you don't exist, at least to the next generation. And that's been taking place. We need to be able to hear that because a lot of our Americans' adversaries have been erased, according to Michelle Bachmann and others, Congressman Michelle Bachmann, from all of our libraries. And it's just amazing. But you know, we can do that by just entering them back in again.
That's right.
Can we write that back in again?
I have a pen, too.
Right. We can write that back in again. Also, this particular program, we'll be talking about the Middle East, getting a real picture in 5 minutes, a beautiful picture of what the whole story is in a nutshell about the Middle East, so you can have a perspective. And so many people say, you know, we just need to get peace over there. The only peace the enemies of Israel will ever have is when Israel is dead. But we need to understand how that all works and how much Israel's laid down for that peace. But understand this too. Notice how everybody's going, peace, peace, peace. And the word of God says they will proclaim peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. And so, man, it is crescendoing, isn't it?
Yeah, you say peace, peace. It's like, what peace do you want? We give you peace here, we give you peace there. And it's,
right,
and
it's, yeah. Well, yeah.
Which, peace, it doesn't bring peace. So.
Yeah, right. I gave you a piece of me, a piece of the land, Gaza, and piece of the land, West Bank, and you want more. And the thing is you'll understand. It'll really help you out because you will understand that we got to have to stand with Israel, no longer be silent. We don't need to be the silent majority that's irrelevant, according to Bridget
Gabrielle.
But we need to, as history's always shown, that the silent majority who sits back and you know, really judges those who refuse to be silent. Well, you know, I don't like the way she did that. I don't like the way he did that. It's like,
that's good.
They're not silent. Yeah. They're standing up. You know, they're doing something about it. And so we'll be talking about that, and it's going to encourage you, and it'll empower you, and you can share this with your friends. We're also going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com. The Border Patrol, you know, we've been talking about the borders, and reports are every country that has lost control of its borders ceases in the future to be a country. Every country that digitizes their economy crashes, you know, and pulls away a standard. And it's just amazing what's taken place with America right now. But the interesting thing we're going to show you, a trucker is going to be coming over the border from Mexico to Texas. And so he asks the American trucker, are you an American citizen? And you're going to be, it's going to be powerful for you to hear this. And he goes, does it really matter?
Right.
And, and the Border Patrol, who we actually do appreciate everything you're doing on the border. I mean, who would witness this great tragedy that's happening to us? I mean, you're going to be the biggest witnesses for us to know. And the Border Patrol answers, he says, it doesn't matter anymore. And this is somebody who's, I mean, why are you, think about it. They're witnessing the greatest travesty, you know, the history of our borders, what's taking place. People said this, you know, America's always been built on immigrants. It has, but it's been built going through a process called Ellis Island. It's been going through, and we want, we need and want as many people as possible to come to America, but there's a way to do it where you don't bring Ebola. There's a way to do it that you don't bring a particular virus, that we can take care of you and help you and heal you and then train you and teach you how to be an American, functioning American citizen based on our values and under our Constitution. And we want you here.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, but just breaking the law, since if you would have taken the citizenship test, the citizenship test says in America that we are a land of laws. And since we're a land of laws, that means the first thing that you do is come in and violate that law. And you support leaders who actually don't pay attention to the law. Then all of this is against the very country that you want to come to, which means the country that you're wanting to come to will not exist anymore. Mm. It won't exist anymore if we don't honor those laws. We can change them. We have a constitution. We can change those things. But until then, we need to honor those laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we want the country to still be here and there's a place for people to come from other countries to America, we need to sustain her. And she is a land of laws. And the Constitution is what every representative, the executive branch, which is the president, the Senate, which is two senators from every state in the union, the Congress, which is one congressperson from every 700,000 people in your state. Every one of them swore, including the judiciary branch, that they would protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic. In other words, they swore to protect the law document. So they swore to protect. It's a law. And it's like, okay, if you're violating it and you're allowing other people to violate it, you're not protecting us from that. You're not protecting the Constitution. And so it's a good to get you a pocket constitution and carry it with you and read it and just read it. And you realize, my goodness, that's exactly what they're supposed to do. And you can go to VFNTV.com and go to the torch and just type in the word oath. And you can find out, you can actually read the oath that the president took, the oath that your senator took, the one that your congressman took, the one that Supreme Court justice took, and the one that new citizens take. And there's a reason why, you know, for years, that we stood up in our classrooms in school and pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Because when you become a new citizen of America, you have to pledge allegiance to the country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have the privilege as a nation to no longer have an allegiance to the very nation that we're in. We need to recapture allegiance again and have that. Like, we have to, I mean, if a citizen has to come and pledge allegiance to a flag that you're burning, I mean, that makes no sense. Some of the people are saying now they can't believe that Israel's having their citizens pledge allegiance to the country.
Wow.
And it's like, that's how America made it this far.
Wow.
And they're pulling the pledge of allegiance out of the classrooms. Thank you, teachers, for teaching our children to violate the very substance of our nation and then calling the Constitution an outdated document. But, you know, just like the wind blows one way, it'll blow back the other way.
Yeah.
And we believe a third great awakening is coming, and we're going to see some pretty awesome things. So we're also going to be seeing the a war, how the media is tilted in the context of how it's covering what's taking place in the Middle East with Gaza, Israel, and the Hamas that's taking place right there. And we need to really educate ourselves on that because of the fact that just because people aren't telling us the whole story don't mean we can't get the whole story. And what we want to do on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is try to give you that biblical perspective of what's going on. There's a reason why people are scared of the gangs called Hamas, because they'll kill you. One reporter reports, and we'll have that available for you today, if not on the program, on the VFN Torch. He's just saying, we saw the missiles being fired right by our hotel, but we could not turn the cameras on them, on Hamas, because they would have killed us. They would have turned the missiles on us. That's why you're there, to report the truth, not just to cover a story so you can have an ad between that whole thing. That's why you're there. Also, we'll be talking about this stronghold falling and the spiritual cracks in the Islam's house, because Muslims are getting saved all over the place. Got a great video that we'll show you. And also about abortion.
Yes. You know, we often talk about the fallout of abortion and what, you know, has happened in regards to, you know, this is a sin before God. 55 million babies have been murdered, and the shedding of innocent blood. But there are a lot of things that we need to discuss as a result of abortion. I mean, you know, when 55 million children have been aborted since Roe versus Wade in 1973, what have we lost as a people? And we're going to talk about that. Everything from missionaries, doctors, scientists, world leaders, and there's even an economic fallout as well. And it, just knowing this alone helps us really understand, my goodness, you know, we need to honor God in this area, and we need to preserve all life.
Yes, and the beginning of the year, you heard us play a prophetic word from Pat Robinson of 700 Club, CBN, and he talked about this, but he said that Islam would fall back to its place again. It would lose its power. Mm-hmm. And that's what was said in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we'll see this word out if it is or not. But he felt like that's what the Lord had said to him. You can go to the VFN Torch and hear that word, which is pretty interesting because it's going to be the best year the church has ever had. It's come several ways.
Yeah,
it'll come on a bumpy road, but it'll be the best year we've ever had. And with that, well, look what's happening. The best way to defeat Islam is to begin to introduce Muslims to the love of God through his son, Jesus Christ. And so you'll have this awesome reports coming from the Middle East, how God is showing himself mightily across the Islamic world, Muslim world, that, that, you know, many are getting saved in 49 nations, John.
Wow.
49 nations. And so much more when we get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Holy Spirit said to tell the people that he has not overlooked your faithfulness. And the Holy Spirit said to tell the people he's going to let you reap where you did not sow. We have so many things at our disposal. There's no reason whatsoever why we should not be greatly successful. There is times in your life and will be times in your life that God will give you a promise, and after he gives you the promise, things will get worse and you'll say, God, I don't understand, but give it some time. There's a precedence in Scripture. It will get better. You don't know when. You don't know how, but it will get better. Do what you're supposed to do. Obey. Stay in faith. Don't get in doubt and unbelief. When the devil starts really heaping it on, when the devil starts screaming in your ear, it's a dead giveaway. God is about to release you from that burden. There's a harvest at hand.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
If schoolwork is a battle in your home, Cynthia Tobias offers this helpful suggestion on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
One lady came up to me after a PTA meeting and she said, oh, my fifth grade daughter, she uses her learning style and all her strengths and stuff. She uses it as an excuse. She says that on Thursday nights, she can only do her homework between 8 and 8:30 while she watches her favorite TV show. She said, I think that's just a big fat excuse. And I said, well, there's one way to find out. As long as it's a television show you approve of, this Thursday night, let her do her homework between 8 and 8:30 while she watches the show. But what should you do at 8:30? You collect the homework. Now, if it's done and done correctly, you have to say, whoa, I could never do it this way, but you obviously can because it works. But if you collect it and it's not done or not done well, you get to say, nice try. We won't be trying that again.
More insights from Cynthia Tobias on today's 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, the fastest way, according to statistics, for a mother to enter into poverty is divorce. Mm. That if she becomes a single mother, statistics say a lot of negative things, but one way is to enter into poverty.
Right.
And it's like, if I would have known that my life would have been in poverty, would I have made an effort to make it work out? And what you're about to talk about, if we would have known how much this would have affected us just for narcissism alone, would we have let our children live and not aborted our children? Tell us what.
Interesting article in Charisma News is reporting about abortion and what it has cost us as a people. And since 1973, where the Supreme Court ruled in Roe versus Wade that abortion was legal, which is basically making the killing and the murder.
Is it 73 or 72?
1973.
Okay, 73.
Murdering of babies legal. And so they've recorded and they've been able to, you know, get a number of 55 million plus. But this author tends to use a compound effect, and he starts to look at it exponentially, what happened before and what would happen if these children were born. They would produce X amount of children. And
so the children that were aborted, if they were actually born.
Right. They would eventually have children, and then they would have, you know, the offspring would continue to grow. What have we missed? And so when we think about that, we think about it, we've missed missionaries.
Yes.
Came out of that group. We would have missed doctors and scientists. Think of the inventions that have not been invented. Teachers, you know, public servants, ministers, you know, the list can go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But he says that in terms of the economy, that we have lost $16 trillion.
Wow.
$16 trillion as a result of, you know, no babies.
Isn't that interesting? Because I think that's the national debt.
It's the national debt.
The national debt, $16
trillion. Yeah.
Wow.
So we actually killed the methodology that would have been to pay.
Yeah.
What meanest thou this? Dear Lord, forgive us.
Yeah, because the numbers that he puts together, he says, we can argue over a balanced budget amendment and tax spend policies, but the reality is that we have lost over 125 million people. And he's talking about that it doesn't matter. No liberal conservative economic policy can take that into effect and can make up that loss. And it's so important because, you know, like you said earlier, as we just introduced this segment, is that we don't take into consideration all the things that happen to us when we violate God's laws. We just look at maybe one particular thing or one particular area, but many times our sin has compound effects. And look at some of the things that we're dealing with now. Maybe there would have been a cure to cancer by now. Maybe there would have been some, you know, other different things that we so desperately need as a nation. But on top of that, we are missing some of the benefits, but also we're being, you know, God's judging us for this. And so we're excited because we've been praying along with many others, dear God, end abortion, send revival, and we're seeing across the country, across the land, laws that are being brought into existence that actually curb abortion. And you're seeing it more difficult and more difficult for children's, you know, babies to be aborted. In fact, we know this in Florida, that there was a baby alive bill that was passed that if a baby was
Governor Rick Scott signed that.
Rick Scott.
Yeah. I have one of the pens in my office.
That's right. The other thing is that, you know, you look at Texas, the state of Texas is important that there, you know, same thing. It's more and more difficult for life to be ended. And so what we're saying and trying to get, you know, to this point across is that It matters. It really matters, the things that we do, how we honor God and how we dishonor God. And we can clearly see, just based upon these numbers, that maybe we wouldn't be in the debt that we are today as a nation, $16 trillion, because we've murdered and aborted 55 million babies in the womb.
Totally amazing. Dear God, end abortion, sin, revival. I want you to take a look at this. Listen, you know, the Middle East is easier than the press tries to make it out for us to understand. It's going to be difficult to resolve because of the hate and the wanting to destroy and to kill Israel is the only solution in the enemies of Israel's mind. But understand this in a moment, in a nutshell, you're going to see how the tensions in the Middle East, how it all came to pass. Take a look.
When I did my graduate studies at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's: no recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt, because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, the Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem. I'm Dennis Prager.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time. Mm-hmm. Of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you. At iabide.org. Iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If they don't, if y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. Wow. You need to get someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, start, in addition to that, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers. And you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where everybody's in smaller groups. Cause I remember in New Orleans, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that these large gatherings scattered everywhere. And nobody knew anybody. You know, I'm saying the database mm-hmm. is gone. It's wet.
Right.
The computer don't work. Mm-hmm. They're in Houston. They're in Louisiana. They're in Mississippi. We were taking people in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who mm-hmm. lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually, that got built after Katrina. Mm. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because it's south of the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus and Sandy. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, "Get in here. How did you know that?" And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And literally. Mm-hmm. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. And I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible, and it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listening to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, 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 welcome back. We are going to go right into an amazing encounter that took place on your border, the border of America, the southern border between Texas and Mexico. And you'll see a video, a little short little video, of what it's like going over the border. And you see a Federal Express truck in front of this particular man that has a camera. And I guess they cross the border quite often. And we're seeing so many people violate the laws, our immigration laws right now. And we've talked about it, and our, you know, we've actually financially and prayerfully given to make sure that the church has resources to be able to give food and shelter and soccer balls and teddy bears and all that to these children that are being used for, it seems like, some sort of political thing. But but in addition to that, the law's being broken. And so what the border patrols are the ones who actually are on the border. And so they see who's coming over the border, and they talk to their fellow officers who's coming over the border. And we're going to hear from the horse's mouth, from the Border Patrol officer, who says very specifically when he's asked, he asked a driver coming over the line, coming into America, are you an American citizen? And watch what the Border Patrol officer says back to this driver. It's about 1 minute. Take a look. Listen.
Here I am at U.S. Border Patrol.
Me?
U.S. citizen.
Yeah, but does it really matter?
Not anymore, unfortunately. Thank you.
You too.
Not anymore, unfortunately.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
You know, that our you know, some of the reports are that we've been hearing that the Border Patrol cannot communicate with us and tell us what's really going on. One of the union representatives for the Border Patrol has spoken to Sean Hannity, I believe it was, on Fox News, spoken to the governor, Governor Rick Perry of Texas. But that's unusual for a Border Patrol officer to be able to just, you know, let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
Even though they're patrolling our borders and it's we the people, government. And,
right.
I mean, if anything, I mean, think about it sort of like this. You have a police officer in your community and he's arresting burglars. People are breaking into your properties or something. And so you ask the officer, you know, is there any crime in the neighborhood? And he says, well, the sheriff has sworn me to secrecy, so I can't tell you whether somebody's breaking in or not. And so you go, I think we need a new sheriff, police chief, whoever's
someone's
leading this, but the law enforcement,
right.
Executive. Think about it. It's like, that's, they're supposed to be, it's a government by the people and for the people.
Right.
And that it is your representative government and the law enforcement, the land of laws that we are, that they're there to be able to report to us about how things are going. When the ship is leaking and water is pouring in the side of the ship, you don't need people playing violins like they did on the Titanic.
Right.
You need people telling you, the ship is leaking.
That's right.
And that's their job. Their job is to say, you know, are we taking in more water than we can handle? Is America the ship, the USS America, is she going to stay afloat? Mm-hmm. Or have we taken in too many? Is the sea of humanity, is it flooding over our border at such a point that America will not be able to stay afloat?
Wow.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And to hear this truth, when on the border, the Border Patrol officer, when the truck driver asked him the question, the Border Patrol officer asked the truck driver the question, are you an American citizen? And the truck driver says, you know, does it really matter? And he goes, what did he say? He says,
Not anymore.
Really.
Not anymore.
Mm. Not anymore. And it does really matter. But the narrative that's been given and that's going across the land, and now that our officers on the borders, they're really thinking, that's their job. Their job is not to be able just to be a toll booth, you know, to be able to just whatever. I mean, that used to be the strictest borders. I mean, they would search your car, sniff your car, you know, walk around, look at your eye gate, you know, how you were looking at folks, and check your trunks.
I remember we went from New York to Canada, and the whole family had to get out.
Right.
I'm like, it's a Daniel Boone thing I got in Canada. Right. Really, it's not a real animal. I mean,
right.
Those days are over.
Yeah. They are over. It's like, sure, come everybody, come. And so that was pretty interesting. So we kind of got a glimpse at our borders, what's taking place. Please pray for our Border Patrol officers. Understand, if they have different leadership, they'll do differently. But they're stuck with whoever their leader is in the context of this. And so we're just going to believe they're going to kick back in again and begin to protect our borders. Mm-hmm. And we want people to come to America the right way so that we can grow as a country. Mm-hmm. We're definitely a land of immigrants. When we come back, we're going to come back and talk about this leaning. Actually, we have time now. Yeah. Oh, this is exciting. Thought we didn't have time. We got to cover this. When you're watching the secular news, those that are driven by the bottom line and the corporations and the talking heads and the context of that, you have to understand it's very lopsided. I mean, I think about Geraldo Rivera, who's talking. I mean, Geraldo, really? I mean, you're going to talk that lopsided about that? These guys are like termites digging up under the land of Israel, snatching their folks, kidnapping their kids, bombing. Come on. And he was speaking against Israel in the context of this, and it was just crazy.
It was mass communication, you know what I'm saying? He was masking the real deal with his hello.
Yes. But understand, there's a reason why it's lopsided like that. I want you to be able to hear this report from CBN News, and we'll come back. We want to get a biblical perspective of why and what's going on.
Today, Hamas and Israel agreed to a three-day truce to set the stage for peace talks. During the month-long conflict, the world has seen scores of media images of Israeli attacks on Hamas targets in Gaza. But as Chris Mitchell reports, the media hasn't been showing the other side of the story, Hamas militants invading Israel and launching rockets at the Jewish state. Here's that story.
For more than a month, Israel's efforts to stop Gaza rocket fire and destroy Hamas tunnels has made headlines and led newscasts around the world.
Two images dominate the war between Israel and Hamas. On one side is Israel's military actions, like airstrikes, artillery, and ground troops. On the other side, video of Palestinians suffering, wounded, or killed in those military actions. But what's missing?
In Gaza, we have not seen Hamas fighters. They are not roaming the streets of Gaza City. They're not carrying weapons. Where are they? We've never seen those pictures in 4 weeks of reporting from this region.
The Western press has not had access to the fighting arm of Hamas. So the impression creating is you have an Israeli army fighting and you have Palestinians on the other side. And that's already playing into Hamas's media strategy.
Hamas media watchdogs also crush what they consider negative reports. Hamas expelled this reporter from the Gaza Strip for his reports on Twitter. CBN News George Thomas spoke with him inside Gaza.
He came to us, in essence, telling us that he was hauled in by Hamas militants and interrogated and threatened, and said that they didn't like the tweets he was tweeting, in essence, telling the world that Hamas was using civilian areas, in this particular case, using this journalist's hotel right next to his hotel to fire off rockets from the Gaza Strip into Israel. And they gave him 24 hours to get out of the Strip.
Italian journalist Gabriel Barbati posted this on Twitter only after leaving Hamas-controlled Gaza. Out of Gaza, far from Hamas retaliation, misfired rocket killed children yesterday in Shati. Witness, militants rushed and cleared debris. His tweet corroborated the IDF account that Hamas rockets, not the IDF, hit the Al-Shifa hospital on July 28th. Filmmaker Michael Grinspan posted this exchange with a Spanish journalist on Facebook. I asked him, how come we never see on television channels reporting from Gaza any Hamas people? No gunmen, no rocket launcher, no policemen. We only see civilians on these reports, mostly women and children. He answered me, frankly, it's very simple. We did see Hamas people there launching rockets. They were close to our hotel. But if ever we dare pointing our camera on them, they would simply shoot at us and kill us.
There was evidence that Hamas was using hospitals, schools, civilian neighborhoods, mosques to launch their rockets. There was evidence of that, but they did not want the Western world to know that.
Oren says keeping the Western world in the dark works with predictable and devastating consequences.
And they're using the civilian population as human shields, and so Israel, no matter how cautious it is, it invariably ends up causing civilian casualties. That creates very painful pictures on television screens that immediately incites the streets, particularly in Europe and South America. That immediately translates into diplomatic pressure in the Security Council and human rights groups.
They realize that they have a captive audience among Western journalists to report one side, to show these horrific pictures of men, women, and children injured, killed. Look, we don't excuse this. It's horrible. This is war. These are the realities of war. But you have to be able to question Hamas straightforward. You have to ask them, are you using United Nations facilities? Are you using schools? Are you using mosques and places of worship?
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
This is not a complicated thing. All we have to do is just do what we're doing now. We have to begin to just share what's really going on.
That's right.
You need to go to the VFNTV.com, go to the VFN Torch, and you can share those articles and those segments. You can go to our app, and you can send each of these segments and begin just to educate everybody around you. It's so easy today. We don't have to go, oh, my goodness, you know, ABC News is not recovering this right, or MSNBC is not covering this right. There's actually more of us than there are of them.
That's right.
They just have, you know, maybe more outlets in regards to media, but we have more people and a way to connect instantly with through social media and other ways. So it's important to begin to give people both perspectives, not to just go, you have to support Israel, to say, listen, it's lopsided. Israel did all this. You can show them, you know, Israel in a nutshell, the Middle East in a nutshell, what's taking place. Then you can show them the lopsided press that's going on in the coverage right there. And then you can see how, if you go to VFN Torch, you can see how Israel has brought in all kinds of humanitarian aid, gas, food, clothes, schools, concrete. They've given all of this in there. And so the whole thing is nothing but a photo op to be able to get people to buy into a false narrative.
Yeah.
But we can actually spread this around. We are the new media.
Mm-hmm.
You are the new media. You can share this with your friends. You can go and sign up for the Torch newsletter. I mean, if you don't know about how to do technology, you can go to the VFNTV.com, sign up for our newsletter, and you'll get all this in a newsletter every single week. We have a free gift waiting for you for that. But listen, when you do that, you could just forward the email to somebody and let them do whatever they're going to do with it. It's just amazing. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it by word of mouth, beginning to spread the truth around, because Israel has went overboard with the Middle East.
That's right.
And has done major things, as you heard in our earlier program. An earlier part of this program, standing up for Israel. More when we get back, we're going to talk about this wedge mindset, wedging a division between so many different areas in America, and how we have to hold ourselves together through this and not be divided. Back after this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now,
right.
Because it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barner writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
Speaking of trophies for humility, you know, I was so, I had a wonderful time to be able to have lunch with Pat's son, Jonathan, and he played, you know, football really well.
Mm.
Well, he had to, he's you know, his dad.
His dad.
Dear
I mean,
Lord.
No choice, Lord.
To help him always do well in sports.
It's in the genes, man.
Right. Is that what you call that?
That's what he said.
And
Jonathan, I'm going to talk.
Yes.
Talk.
Even his dog has a Saint shirt. So
yes, he does.
He does. Of course, the dog's like, I'm a Pittsburgh fan. Anyway, so.
Oh, whatever.
You know, Jonathan and I are having lunch, and he was telling me about his trophies. He got two medals.
His medals.
He got medals. He's a really good player in football, flag football, and he got these medals. And I said, "Whoa, what are the medals for?" And he says, "They're for humility." And I'm thinking, I'm like, tilt. I'm like, okay, so do you get it, but you can't show the medal? I mean, how do you get a medal for humility, right?
And, right.
And Jerry and goes, my son it. Goes, Jerry goes, does it come with a blanket? And he's going, and Jonathan's going, I'm shooting for four.
Oh, no.
A word of knowledge out there for those that are handing out medals for humility. That might be counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive.
Is that something? Oh my goodness. Today we want to be for humility. Mrs. Jones in our church congregation. She's the most humble woman around. Thank you very much. I worked very hard for this.
And I'm going to work even harder for the next recognition.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Imagine if America, imagine the map of America, and according to some studies, it may be real difficult for today's students to imagine that. And but there's actually 50 states, so obviously you'll have, I'm sure you know which one's up here, right?
Sure.
And which one's over here, right?
Right.
Over here. you can see Russia from one of them.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so...
Went there.
right. No, I haven't yet, but I would like to. That, imagine America, so you got a map of America. But it's not a. It's not made out of, you know, it is wood. Paper is wood. but this is actually, imagine like a tree that grew like a map of America, and you took a slice out of it, and so now you have this thick piece of wood, and you look down on it, and it's shaped like America. You have, you know, all the western coast out there. You have Texas coming down. You have the Florida Panhandle. You got, you know, the vacation state up there in Maine and all that. And so you're looking at it, and it's like, well, that's pretty cool. But then I don't know if you've ever had a log before that you're trying to split up to use for firewood. But obviously, I don't know if you know this or not. Some do.
Tell us.
Firewood does not come in a shrink wrapped plastic in front of your local store.
It doesn't?
I could have sworn I've seen some.
You don't pick that up at Walmart like that.
I'm like, we're shrink wrapping firewood, six pieces for $75.
Yeah, exactly.
And with a hand, even has a handle on it. Anyway, so, but before it was shrink wrapped, it was actually at a round log, and so they had to take it and. They have a wedge, and it's a metal wedge, whether it's a machined wedge or a metal wedge. And, I mean, it was like this. It's a spout of water. I remember my dad and I were splitting wood. Actually, he was splitting wood, and I was praying. It's my first time how to pray. I would hold the wedge like this, and he would just swing the sledgehammer. Of course, he grew up in the lumber. He grew up doing that in the woods. And so I'd hold it, and he'd hit that, and the wedge would go down in the wood.
While you held it.
While I held it. I held it.
Wow.
I got to show you how that works.
That's all right.
I thought you trusted me.
Well, I've seen you.
Right. No, we've seen you got your glasses on?
Exactly.
I know what you can't see.
Trust me.
That's my head.
right. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't. I would probably. Anyway, so, but I did. I held it for my father. And
as long as you don't mind me leaving it with you.
He's driving it down. And what happens is you got the solid... I mean, you cannot, it's been there for years, you know, this log. But as you hammer with a sledgehammer, this wedge, it goes into the solid piece of wood and it begins to split it. You hear it start ripping apart. And it's, you hit it, it rips more, you hit it. And it's like this wedge takes what was solid and divides it into two pieces. And then you continue to do that till you get the wood the size you want it to. And so literally, when you drive wedges into this log, you conquer a tree and make it firewood. And in America right now, there's wedges being driven in all this country called America. And there's so many wedges, you probably could sit back and name them all. And a lot of people are caught up with trying to say, but we need to resolve this one wedge. Another one says, we need to resolve this one divisive issue. And the whole thing is like, once it's been driven, once the wedge is there, it's not about trying to resolve it. It's trying to say, you know, we just got to go back and quit dividing ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, John. I mean, how many wedges, a wedge that's been driven in our government where you have the executive branch driving a wedge between the Supreme Court and the executive branch, between the executive branch and the legislative branch, and all of a sudden, it's been a wedge has been driven to where you have a part of the president's cabinet, one of the best friends, it appears, of the first lady. Her job is to go around the divided legislature, go around Congress.
To drive the wedges.
To drive wedges, and to go out and begin to drive wedges. And it's like, this is so important. I mean, name a few things you think about the wedge where all things are divided.
Well, think about education.
Mm-hmm.
Divided there, divided on.
Students and the education system.
Yeah.
Doctors and the medical.
Healthcare reform. You have the immigration, what's going on there. I mean, you know, amnesty or not.
Yeah, we do care, but we still have laws, so we're divided.
Exactly. Well, look at the marriage wedge is being driven right now.
Marriage.
entitlements, no entitlements.
Right. Political parties.
Political parties. List kind of goes on and on.
Churches, birth control. I mean, we can't name it. There's so many of them. You already know probably what they are. And so you got to ask yourself then, so, you know, what's going on? What is the ultimate thing? And it's like, you know, we can sit here and theorize about it. We can talk and listen to lectures at Princeton or Harvard or Yale. We could listen to a congressperson who just trying to satisfy a majority of their people so they can get back in again, it seems. Or we could go back and say, you know, why don't we just listen to the creator of the universe? Why don't we just listen to God who created all things? And everything was created by him and for him. And he holds everything together. In other words, if things are being split apart, if we wanted to be held together, it's him. When we turn to him, he will hold it together. He's able to hold us together. I mean, think about that. And so God sent his son, Jesus, here on the earth. And Jesus, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, communicated the love in the face of God. When you've seen the son, you've seen the father. He communicated the words of God to us to let us know about these wedges, about these divisions. And he said very simply about these things in Matthew 12:25. I mean, he just said what it is. And so you can understand when you're seeing all these wedges being driven in your marriage, between you and your kids, between you and your job, between you and your economy, you and your law enforcement, you and your borders. I mean, somebody is trying to do something. What is the ultimate goal here? Well, Jesus tells us. He tells us very plainly what the goal is. So we can turn to God and get a biblical perspective of what's going on. And then we can say, you know, we can stop this by quit letting people divide us and start uniting Christ-centered. And that's some things we're going to be loosening really soon. So it's very exciting. But Jesus says this. This is what Jesus says about the people who are driving wedges between us. Driving wedges between marriages and marriage between authority and between the Congress. He says this. He says, every kingdom. This is what God's saying through his son, because Jesus said nothing unless he heard the Father say it. So God, the creator of the universe, is saying, every kingdom, that means including America, by the way, divided, wedged, divided against itself, will be ruined. And every city, by the way, or household divided against itself will not stand. We've got to become once again the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A land of laws, a land that pledges allegiance again, once again, to the Constitution of the United States that allows us to stand up and profess our faith in the First Amendment, to write out newspapers and blogs and all these different things and say, this is my viewpoint. And obey the laws of our land. Begin to say, you know what? Help us get back. Lord God, remove these wedges from our life. Don't buy in and begin to argue and hate somebody who they've driven a wedge. They want you to hate them. It's a Linsky tactic that says you got to polarize before you can organize. In other words, you got to drive a wedge in there before you get what you want. And we got to say, wait a minute, I've got your tactics. We are not going to fall. We're not going to be ruined. We're not going to be divided. We're going to stand for God and country in that order and for Israel. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.